to the end of it. From verse 40. So now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. And as Jesus was on his way, the crowds amongst him crushed him. They almost crushed him. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and she touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told him why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." So I find that really interesting for many reasons. The reason why I read the first part of it was the young girl that was dying was 12, and the lady had the bleeding for 12 years. I think it's quite significant. You know, how long have you been waiting for something? Have you been waiting 12 years? Have you been waiting 12 minutes? How long have you been holding on to something where you might need forgiveness, you might need healing? But the lady didn't give up, did she? And she had a gift. The Bible said the gift was faith. So in the midst of her feeling that he had nothing, the Father gave her the gift of faith, and it was her faith that healed her. I think that's really significant as well. So Sue's going to come, and she's going to share some bits. We've got a video that we're going to share with you. And it's going to be a time of coming to be prayed for. So whether you want prayer from us or you want to pray for each other. But I think today is going to be a special time. I can really feel the Holy Spirit. I really feel that the mood was set by the prayer and the worship this morning. Something's going on. And I know that the Lord is here.
We're just going to pray before we think about the scripture we've just heard. Lord, we pray by your Spirit that we would know your presence. Lord, we know your Spirit is with us, but Lord, sometimes we block that. And as Leanne said this morning, Lord, we feel the Spirit is with us, that we can humbly come before you and ask for healing. And that's for all of us, Lord. That's for the youth as well as the adults. So help us to be bold and not to hide and not to feel embarrassed, but to just come and accept your healing. Amen. Just as a show of hands, does anybody know this story from the Bible? Has anyone read the story about the woman with the issue of blood? Yeah, that's great. It's always good to know some people have got a bit of foreknowledge. I find this story very moving, perhaps because I'm a woman and having experienced an element of this in my life. So I think actually there's hardly a person here who can say that they've never struggled with an illness or something in their family that's happened. And sometimes when it's a chronic illness and a long illness, we actually give up hope. We think that's not going to be possible. How can God heal that? And that was the case for this woman. And often we can find ourselves in a desperate situation, just living with the thing that we think can never be healed. Again, this is what this woman felt. Sometimes you're fighting for your life, and it's much more serious. And at work, we have a prayer chain, we have an intercessors group, and part of my work is to receive prayer requests, telephone calls, urgent requests, which can then be relayed to others. And it's not like they're a special group, because we can all pray, but their dedication to prayer is amazing. And we have wonderful, miraculous results from that prayer. So when Jesus came to earth, his greatest desire was to trust in him. We heard about trust earlier. To believe in him. Which seems simple for us as believers, but almost impossible for those who don't know Jesus. And as we just read, we read from one of the Gospels, but this story is significant enough to be in three of the four Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And if you read them together, I mean, you might have time, if you feel like it, later, to pick up all three versions of this story. Perhaps do that. It gives us a rich, colourful picture of it. But the story unfolds in Capernaum, and I've not long ago been there, so I do feel like I understand where that piece of the land is, near the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was teaching, and it was a very pressing sort of day for Jesus. There were crowds, and he was approached by a man identified as a worker in the local synagogue. And that person came to Jesus in severe distress, begging for Jesus to come to his home, to come to see his 12-year-old daughter. And we know his name was Jairus. We don't know the name of the daughter. And Jesus started to move in the direction of the man's house to perform that miracle that we know of. But we don't hear of it at this point in that gospel message. We hear the crowd are with him. We know his teaching. We know he's on his way. But as he moved along, the crowd got thicker. And I expect to the extent where he actually felt quite suffocated. And having been to Jerusalem and inside the old walls of the city, it's a very tight environment. But that's just an example. He wasn't within that place. He was on the street being crowded. Very popular man. But while he was on that mission, this woman approached him. She didn't approach him from the front. She was being covert. She knew she wasn't popular. And she really wanted to get rid of this disease in her body, this issue of blood, which might have been a gynecological problem, but we're not sure. It lasted 12 long years. She was like a leper. Nobody really wanted to get near her. She'd gone to doctors. She'd asked for cures. Nothing had worked. Are any of us in that situation here today, where nothing has really worked? And we can be talking about mental health here, as well as physical. Scripture also said she was broke because she'd had all her money spent on trying to find a solution. Jesus was her last hope. She creeped behind Jesus in the crowd. And she believed that if she touched her touched his clothes, she would be healed. And so, as soon as she received her healing, Jesus stopped, dead in his tracks. "Who touched me?" he asked. The woman was afraid. She was ashamed. She couldn't come forward. But Jesus gave her the attention she needed. And he also explained why she'd been healed. He said her faith had healed her. This woman with the issue of blood, in my mind, was a radical risk taker. She shouldn't have been in the place she was, but she was there, just like the weeds in my garden. When I talk to them and say, "You shouldn't have been there, you're not a flower, what are you doing?" She went against the rules of her time to reach out for this healing. She had some belief. We know she had some belief. She wouldn't have been there otherwise. But was it superstition? Did she believe that just in touching the clothes, that would heal her? She was a persevering woman, and I like that in a woman, because I think we have to persevere. All people have to persevere, but often when you're the nurturer of children, you have to carry on and carry on, or perhaps the carer of someone in your family, the caregiver. The crowd she had to go through wasn't an ordinary crowd, but she carried on and she pushed through, and she would have been crushed to death potentially if they'd have found out who she was and what was wrong with her. She was fearful, but she was faith-filled. She was not the most courageous, I think, but she did it because she knew she could get access to Jesus and she could receive healing. So there's something to learn about risk, stepping out in our faith, to understand that actually we might not understand the full picture, but we have to take a risk in our faith and trust and believe that Jesus can heal. In the Old Testament, just to give you a bit of a background knowledge on who she was to the people, it says here that, this is from Leviticus, the early laws in the Old Testament, when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time, other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her monthly period, she will be unclean as long as she has that discharge, just as in the days of her period. And any bed she lies on while this is happening will be an unclean bed. And anything she sits on will be unclean, as during her period, and anyone who touches her will be unclean, and they must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean until evening. So it was a big thing for her to be in that crowd. And in Jewish culture, her bleeding disorder definitely rendered her unclean. Everything and anyone she touched would be unclean, and she would not be able to be permitted to handle money or food or attend a synagogue. So she was cut off from the faith. She hadn't been able to go to a synagogue for 12 years. Can you imagine that? I miss this place when I don't come for 2 weeks. But 12 years? She really should not be physically close to anybody. So she would be punished by law if she'd been caught. And that's why she asked Jesus for healing openly. She couldn't ask for Jesus for healing openly, sorry. She could only touch his garment, and she risked her life. She went out on a limb, and her illness, although common among several women, because this type of bleeding could be something that others had experienced that she would have known, was very difficult to cure. But she persisted, and she was in a desperate situation. Have you ever wondered, like the disciples, how in the world Jesus knew that the woman with the issue of blood touched him? Because if you're in a crowd, and if everyone's pressing in on you, how would you know that that woman had touched you? Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples thought, "Is he mad? Everyone's touching us." He was in a crowd. But as he walked and hardly could breathe because he had so many people around him, he discerned this woman had touched his garment. Now, the word touch comes from a root word. It's hapto, fasten to, cling to, a bit like a child can. When they really want something, they'll cling on. Or maybe your husband, or maybe your wife does, I don't know. But when Jesus said that, he wasn't referring to the actual act of someone putting their hand on him. In fact, the story says that she didn't touch Jesus, but just touched those clothes, and yet he knew it. And what Jesus really asked was, who clung to me with all their whole being in unwavering faith? That's what he discerned. This woman, this desperate woman, was this her absolute last option of healing? Yes, and he knew it. And of course she clung to him, and I cling to him at times, don't you? There's times in our lives where we're so desperate, that's all we can do, cling. This woman had his full attention. He was on his way. He knew what he could do for this daughter of Jairus. He wasn't going to rush because he knew that he could heal her when he got there, in his own time, God's time. So he didn't have to say, "I'm really sorry, but I've got this," which I often do. If someone turns up and two people are there, I say, "Well, I'm really sorry. You just sit there, have a cup of tea, biscuit. I'm just going in there." No, he didn't need to do that at all. As a faith as deep and unwavering as this woman's not only earns God's attention, but it secures his undivided attention. The woman identified herself. Jesus zoomed in on her. He listened intently as she told her story. And this is something we can learn from. If we really want to heal, if we want to let God use us as a vessel, we have to listen intently to that person, not look at the annoying fly buzzing around the room, but we actually have to focus on that person because we need to give them our undivided attention. Jesus listened, and she described her shameful, because she was ashamed, her disgraceful burden she'd held for 12 years, the scorn she had suffered from others, the loneliness she had bared, the desperation she felt, and the lack of being able to be with others in following her God. But despite the crowd, it seemed like no one else existed in that moment. Freeze frame. It was God and this woman. It was Jesus, God's son, and this woman. There's no detail about how long it took for her to tell all she'd experienced, but that doesn't matter either. Jesus didn't want to say, "I'm hurrying away." He just concentrated on her. But he also said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." He stated it explicitly, addressing her superstition that if she only touched the garment, he wanted her to know it was her faith. He wanted her to know there's no power in clothes. Those superstitions still exist in the world where people bless certain hankies and give them to people. But it's just the faith. The real power was her faith in God. And so therefore she received that healing. He met her where she was, for who she was. He didn't judge her. How many of us judge when we ask the person something about their life and they tell us and we're a bit shocked? And then they ask for healing. We should really try to just put on the mindset of how Christ sees all of us. We're all sinners. We've all got something hidden in the cupboard. But he just wants us to be who we are with him. Be real. And he will just be with us as we are. We don't have to be perfect in our faith to access the blessings of heaven. But we do need that deep, abiding faith. And as we grow and as we mature in Christ, we understand more and more about what that real faith is and what it can do for us and how it can help others. So this bleeding woman had experienced untold anguish, but because of the Jewish rules about her bleeding, the social stigma associated with being diseased, she wasn't able to enjoy healthy human relationships, whether romantic or otherwise. She had believed that Christ would be her only healing mechanism that day. And she'd been vulnerable, but can you imagine the joy in her when this healing came? I know what that feels like when joy comes. And I've seen it for others when I've prayed and there's been a result. But God doesn't always heal in the way we think, as we said earlier. He can have to heal us at different levels, like the man whose sins were forgiven. And many had that said to them by Jesus, "I forgive you your sins." That can release us mentally into a different way of life. Jesus assured her that she belonged to him, that she might have had no one to cover her, but now she did. She didn't have anyone to defend her, but now she did. She was unwanted, but Jesus claimed her as his own. And the last thing is that he said, "Go in peace." That final command really translates, "Go into peace," because all these things that have burdened you are no longer there. Go into peace. She received physical healing, but I'm sure she received mental healing, spiritual healing, all sorts of healing, but she received salvation. And that day her soul was saved. The peace that comes with that is incredible. And it will be hers from now on. She will be able to rest in the fact that Jesus promises to those who trust him with their whole hearts that he will never leave them. He will never, never leave them or forsake them. And her whole life was affected because God spanned through all aspects of her being. So let's have courage today to take godly steps of faith, even to the point of coming up and saying, yes, that's me, I need healing. You don't have to go into full detail. Christ knows it. You can just say, I'm feeling very depressed. Christ knows the detail. Let's have the strength to push through difficult situations in our life and to even believe that there can be a miracle. Let's have knowledge of things that stand between us and God, like superstition. I was brought up very much with superstition around me. You know, don't wash your hair on certain days and Friday the 13th and don't walk under a ladder. But I was released from that. And I don't think Christ wants us to be burdened with that. And let's have strength to give God our complete attention as he gives us his complete attention. Cut out the extras. Just look at Jesus. Fix your eyes. And let's have that daily peace and assurance that we are his and he has saved us. I'm going to finish now, but I'm just going to pray again that people would be bold in this next part, which Leanne will take a lead on, which is for us to either share a story of healing or to ask for healing. Now, Mike's here, and he is our elder, and he will be available, I think, for anointing us with oil and healing oil. I bought it from the Garden of Gethsemane. There's a long process out in Jerusalem about the way they use their oils, but this one was really, it's got myrrh and frankincense, and I'm not going to get into the superstitious side of things, but it's good and scriptural for our elder to anoint us and for us to pray for each other. So let me just pray for that now. Lord, I just thank you that you give us time to explore your word, and that this story, the stories in the Bible, are relevant now as they were then. And Lord, help us as a family to be vessels for your spirit, to allow the spirit to flow and for us to be healed today. Amen.
So let's go back to Psalm 91. Where it says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at night. Or destroys at midday, sorry. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. For if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will come to you, no disaster will come near your tent. So that was a very powerful video. And it suggests that the wind of the Spirit comes gently, like the wind, like a dove, but then powerfully. And if we look at Acts chapter 2, it said, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like blowing of the violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see what God wants to do in me, in you, and in each of us, and in the church, and in London. I want to see people set free. But do you know where it starts? It starts in here, each of us. It says in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves in prayer and seek my face, I will heal their nation. I might have paraphrased that, but it's a a message that's always been on my heart. And I feel that's where it starts. Just a simple movement in your heart. I'm sorry, God. I need you, Lord. I can't do this without you. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you sit on any of this. But we want to give a space now for you to come up for prayer. Sue and I will be here. McQuinn, perhaps, if you want to come up and pray with us as well. You know, so the leaders are here and Mike's going to be here with that anointing oil. So if you feel that there is something that's even more deeper that you would like anointing for, Mike will be able to do that as our elder. But we just want to give some space now and let's see what God wants to do.
In humility, our Heavenly Father, we've come before you. Even before we open our mouths, our Lord and our God, you know our thoughts. You know what each one of us is going through. We enjoy so much from you, our Heavenly Father. But most times, we forget the good things that you have provided and blessed us with. We focus on the difficulties that we encounter. Our Lord and our God, we pray that you open our eyes, open our hearts, enable us to enjoy the great and vast blessings that you have put for us. And hand over all those difficult situations unto you. It may be to do with our studies. It may be to do with our work. It may be to do with our families, our Lord, our neighborhood, or whatever the situation may be, our health, finances, and so on, our Lord. We know, our Lord and our God, that there is nothing that you cannot solve. You are the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and the Omega. Our Lord, you have the power. There is none like you, and there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing that is impossible with you. Our Lord, take total control. Speak to us. Enable each one of us here to feel free to submit unto your will. To speak to you, not necessarily through the leaders. Our Lord and our God, openly confess your love and acknowledge your goodness and ask that all those little or those difficulties that are being encountered be lifted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray for Carol. Lord, we pray that as Carol progresses, even if it feels a slow progression for her, that you will bring her back into our fold here, our fellowship, that she would be able to be more mobile, that her legs would work well, that also she would be able to be transported and brought here and be comfortable as she comes on that journey and goes home. We pray for that in particular. We pray for any emotional healing that needs to be had from her hospital time recovery time. And we pray, Lord, that spiritually she will be close to us. She will be close to you, more importantly. And that she will find ways to achieve that because you will help her in that. So we ask for full healing and restoration. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you would want us to come to you, we can do that. That's easier. If you have anything that you require in terms of healing, we can come over to you. Josephine, Sister Josephine. Do you want to come up or should we come to you, Josephine? Okay. So as we remember that there is power in the blood of Christ, that when he died for us and he died for our forgiveness of sins. And that's a wonderful thing. Leanne and I will be available afterwards. If you haven't felt, you can come up now, right at this point. We'll be around, so you can come and join us and we can pray later, okay?
So, Lord, we commit each other to you now, thanking you, Lord, that there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And it is through the blood of the Lamb that we can be saved and be part of your kingdom. And we're just so grateful for that, Lord. We want to give you all the glory and all the praise for that. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us. Pray, Lord, that you will lift from us any strongholds that are trying to hold us back. Lord, there will be freedom in our lives, Lord, the freedom that comes from your Spirit. And just pray, Lord, now that your blessing will rest upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.